Sounds like fancy.
Okay. So, if you recall, last week we touched on an issue which is slightly related to tonight. And the question was, can I or should I violate some sort of an avera for the sake of someone else? So, we gave an example, if they're about to take away someone and missionary, you know, for a missionary, and it's on Shabbos, and am I allowed to violate the Shabbos in order to prevent that situation? And that's the famous principle called chatei, or ein omrim lo chatei, b'shvil sheyis kechavero. Remember, we had the Radias Hapas, in other words, Reuven put the dough into the oven on Shabbos mistakenly, and then Shimon wants to come on and take it out before it bakes. So he's going to be preventing Reuven from violating a malacha d'oraisa of Afia, but on the other hand, he's violating a malacha d'arbanan of Radias Hapas, which is a chachmei malacha. That's what we discussed last time. What we want to talk about tonight is a different question. And that is Misayel Ovre Aver. You'll see it if you have the pages on the top. That's the title for tonight. Which literally in English translates as abetting in a crime. And it's if I do something which makes it possible for you to violate an Aver. Now, if let's say, for example, I have in front of me a tray for a piece of meat, and you come into my store and you say, Rabbi Berson, I want to buy it from you. So you're from a yid, I can give it to you because I assume that you're feeding your dog. No, I don't have to reason in my mind, a priori, that you're going to eat it. But the question becomes more severe, more sharp, in a case where I'm helping you, knowing full well that you're going to violate Navera. Now we're going to see later on, but tonight I want to focus on the conceptual structure of this problem, and there are a number of different dimensions to it, that this is relevant especially to people who are in Kiruv or in Rabbonos who are reaching out. And often, let's say for example, I'll give you the classic example, this is something that my father Shalom had to face on a daily basis almost. He's called upon to be Masadar Kedushin. So he's officiating at a wedding knowing full well that the couple will not observe the laws of Nida. And as a postscript, I want to tell you that in Eretz Yisrael we don't have that problem of Seder Kedushin per se, because there's no such thing as Seder Kedushin. Like you say, you have to sign up. In Eretz Yisrael, you got to sign up. Unless you first get the heter from the Rabbanim. In other words, there's no such thing as civil marriage in Eretz Yisrael, in theory. And that means that when you come for marriage, you have to get the okay through the Israeli rabbi. And now part of the process of getting the okay, there are many pieces of the puzzle, and I very often had to vouch for someone about their Jewishness, but that's the easy part. The hard part, especially for a couple that's not observant, is that she has to go to mikveh. And unless she gets a signed document that said she went to be tovel in mikveh, then there's no Seder Kiddush. But in Chutzlar, it's, whether it's in Europe or here in America, North America, it's impossible to expect that every couple is going to observe the laws of Nida and therefore require them to go to mikveh before they come for Seder Kiddush. So do I have a right to say that I will marry them off, knowing full well?
That's a good one. That's not considered.
At least we can say they started off the marriage on the right foot. You're right. It's a little bit, we're playing games because we're assuming that she's so enthralled with the excitement of going to mikveh that she's going to observe it for the next round. And that you're right. You know, we are. But at least to avoid that problem, we're going to see that the poskim in Eretz Yisrael, well, they're not going to go for it. But in Chutzar, it's virtually impossible. And there are going to be numerous occasions. We once touched on the issue of feeding a guest, knowing full well that he's not going to make a brocha, giving him bread, he's not going to wash his yadayim. By making this accessible to him, knowing full well that he's not going to observe the mitzvah, am I, in a sense, abetting to a crime, and that itself would be prohibited. Good. So maybe in a sense, when I give him food, knowing that he won't make a bracha, it's the lesser of two evils because the alternative is a lot worse. And all these questions are going to bear on our issue. So I'm just giving you a taste of what's going to be the practical issue. I don't know if we're going to get to the tshuvas tonight, because what I want to focus on is creating a conceptual structure. Now the goal of this conceptual structure is to try to prove to you that there's a steer, there's a head-on collision between two different tosas. And neither one of the two tosas refers to the other tosas. It's very strange. And And how to possibly think of ways of reconciling that. So if you have the Mar Makomos, we're going to start with a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos. This is a very famous Mishnah. I mean, just by show of hands, how many of you learned Masechta Shabbos before? Or at least the first part of Masechta Shabbos. You know, you'd have to spend a lifetime to learn all of Masechta Shabbos. One of the most complicated and the lengthiest Masechtas in Shabbos. So the first Mishnah is the Mishnah of the Ani and the Balabais. It's very interesting pedagogically. The Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi uses the Ani as the example for someone who's out in the Rishus HaRabim. He's outside the house in the public domain, and he's knocking on the door of the Ani, of the Baal Bayis. The Baal Bayis is inside the house. Okay, let me first go into, they try to find deeper meaning here and why the Mishnah chose this scenario. But in any event, so here's the model of two malachas, which are really one. One is called Hotzah, which means taking an object out of Rishus HaYochid and putting it down in Rishus HaRabim. And the other is called Hachnasa, which is the reverse, taking it from the Rishus HaYochid, the private domain, and from the public domain, excuse me, and putting it into a private domain. That's called Hachnasa. Both are avos. Both of them generate a chiyuv chatos. And the Mishnah goes ahead and calculates how many times, how many different versions and scenarios can you come up with in which A, the ani will violate one of these two malachas, whether it be hachnos and hotzah. B, the balabayas will violate one of these two malachas. And then to calculate how many different scenarios the balabayas and the ani as a joint effort together will accomplish the malacha d'oraisa, and if it's a joint effort, that's called shnayim shasuhu, a partnership in a malacha, and the halacha is potter avalos. So we'll get back to that in just a minute. But let's talk about the d'oraisa. See, here's the ani picking up an object outside in the public domain, the rishus haravim, and stretching his arm into the rishus hayochid, and Mikey, you're going to have to help me here. You are the Baal Bayis inside. Okay, I need an object here. We'll use my glasses. And simply, I put it down. Did you do a thing, Mikey? Nothing. But maybe you did something, which we'll come to in a minute, in the sense that you opened up your hand for me. But you didn't do anything active, correct? This would be like a classical case of the Nosam B'yodim Gerishin. You know, when they used to teach us about get, they used to make sure that the woman would not close her hand until the get was in her hand. And now you can close your hand. So that's called a get. If she closed the hand before he lets go of it, you've got all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael fighting over this, whether the get is kosher. So in the first scenario, the Ani does what's called the Meleches Hachnosa, and he lays down the object in the hands of the Baal Bayis. The Baal Bayis does nothing. So that's called Hachnos. On the other hand, getting back to this situation, now watch, the object is now in your hands, you're the Baal Bayis, I'm again the Ani. I stretch my arm inside, into the private domain of Rishus HaYochid, take it out, and again, just to simplify things, although this is an issue, I put it down on a Makom Chashuv, Makom Dalet al Dalet Tfachim, that's called Hachnos. Now watch what happened. In the first scenario, when I put it into your hand, that's called Hachnasa because you're in Rishus HaYochid and I brought it from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. In the second scenario, I took it from the Rishus HaYochid and put it down the Rishus HaRabim. In both cases, whether it be Hachnasa or Hotzah, I, the Ani, and only I violate a Malacha of Hachnasa or Hotzah. The Baal Bayis, until we get into the thick of things, and that's going to be our issue for tonight, the Baal Bayis played no role at all. Because he was purely passive. So that Shtayim Liome Bachutz for the Ani, he can violate too. Now, the same thing could be in the reverse, but this time we'll start with the Baal Bayis. Now, the Baal Bayis could do Hotzah. Okay, I'm the Ani. Just put it down. Or Hachnos. Okay? So in this case, the Baal Bayis is Chayef for two Malachos. And in this case, the Ani is completely neutralized. He's totally passive. So that's Shtayim and Shtayim. So you can have two violations d'oraisa for the Ani, whether it's Hachnasa or Hotzah, and two violations for the Baal Bayis, either the Baal Bayis is being Motzi or he's being Ma. It's fine. But then the Mishnah goes ahead and says Shtayin Arba, Shtayin Arba, which means you have to add another two violations to the other party. What's the situation where you add another two violations? Watch this. Now, we'll start with you just because I know what I'm about to do, okay? You're the Baal Bayis. I'm out in the Rishus HaRabim. Now give it to me. Now watch. See that? I took it. Now, in this case, what happens is there's a partnership in the malach. The Balabayis implemented what's called akiras hachefetz. He picked it up. The ani in this case actively did the hanocha. Now, that's exactly what Hotzon Achnos is made of. It's made of these two elements. So if we both participate in these two elements, neither of us, paradoxically, have violated Nisut Torah. Neither of us can be considered Machal Shavuos Midorais as far as the Torah law, because of the principle of Shnayim Shosu. Two people who participated in partnership in a Malach and achieved Malach, and neither of them are Chayav. By the way, that'll be very relevant if you ever have to violate Shabbos for whatever reason and you want to pull it off in a way where you minimize the violation. So you're going to get yourself a partner, you know, to do it together. Okay, so if you have to carry something.
God opens a French door with his wife.
Okay, good.
I guess that's...
That would be a case of Shnayim Shosu. But again, you have to know Zeh Yochol, Zeh Yochol. It gets complicated. Now, the Gemara wants to raise the following question. The Mishnah only speaks about two concepts. One concept where either the Ani or the Baal Bayis did the entire Malacha alone, single-handedly, a monopoly, in other words, Akira and Anoch, and he's chayv the other ones. Or they did it in tandem as a partnership, and each one violated Nisut Rabbanan. Now, the total number here, the magic number that the Mishnah postulates is 8. Because each one of the two partners, whether it's the Ani or the Baal Bayis, has two Doraises, Hachnos and Hotzah, and two Durabonans, where he does either the Akira or the Hanocha, either way. So if you calculate it, it's 2 plus 2 for each of them. So that's 4 times 2 is 8 in high mathematics. Correct? Everything's wonderful. The Gemara says the numbers don't make sense. Why? Because the Gemara says, what about the case where the Ani puts it into the hand of the Baal Bayis, the Baal Bayis does nothing? Why isn't that counted even as far as the Baal Bayis is concerned? That's going to add another 4 numbers, so the number's going to jack up till 12. So if you take a look in your source sheet, you'll see, I think it's number 2 on your sheet, that the Gemara says, Bava Dereisha Pater Umutar. That the Mishnah is only calculating violations, Isurim. Whether it be an Isur Doraisa, in the case where you did both the Akira and the Hanocha single-handedly, or an Isur Drabana, in the case where you did either the Akira or the Hanocha. In tandem with someone else. But in the case where you did nothing, that's not going to be incorporated into the calculations of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is only interested in violations in Isurim, whether it's Doraisa or the Rabbana. In this case, where the Baal Bayis was totally passive, or the Ani was totally passive, it doesn't matter. He's just holding his hand out with the object in his hand, or he's taking the object as it's being placed in his hand, but he's not doing anything active. That's called Pater Umut. And that's going to trigger off a red bell. Does that mean that if I know full well that you're about to take this object out and violate a meleches, let's say, hotzah, in the case of I'm the Baal Bayis or the Ani, that I'm allowed to do this? Maybe I should be closing my hands on this and clenching it in such a way that I won't let you do it. Maybe I should be beating you down to a pulp, black and blue. But to say that it's mutter for me to be, even in a subject, in a passive way, a partner in crime, that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says partner umutter, and that's what's going to set off bells of alarm. It's going to be a ripple. So it's going to start with Tosis, but it's going to go through all the Mishonim. How could it be partner umutter? You know that he's taking it out. You know he's going to take this object and violate an Isur Malacha Doraisa, and you're passive and you don't stop him, or at least make it difficult for him. And imagine if he has no access to the object without you. What happened here? And as I told you, Rabbosa, the topic for tonight is Misaya Lidvar Avera. This is a classical case of Misaya Lidvar Avera. Now, although we started with this Mishnah, in truth, I have to tell you that the story really starts in a different Masechta, not in Masechta Shabbos. It starts in Masechta Avodah Zarah. And the case there is that of a Nazir. Let's just reiterate very quickly. Who's a Nazir? First of all, is it a Jew or a guy? A Jew. A Jew is becoming a Nazir. Male or female? Makes no difference. That's interesting. Okay? Have you guys ever seen a Nazir? I once saw a Nazir in my life.
In Yerushalayim.
In Yerushalayim. He's gone a long time. I actually visited him when he was sitting shiva.
It's possible.
He had very, very long hair. Today would be considered a, I don't know, a hippie or whatever. But he was a Nazir, a very holy man. How do you become a Nazir? So there are different ways of becoming a Nazir. You could be born into it. But the classical case is when you accept upon yourself Nazirs. That's called a Neder. Or maybe a Shvua. You have to know the Rosh at the beginning of Nedarim discussed whether Nazir is a Neder or Shvua. But what happens in the case of a Nazir? So there are many different Yisurim that apply to a Nazir. He's not allowed to bury the dead or come in contact with the dead. He's not allowed to cut his hair. But what we're focusing on for the time being, he's not allowed to drink the produce of grapes. He's not allowed to drink grape juice or wine. He can't even eat chatzanim that produce grapes or wine. Now, what happens if your good friend the Nazir says to you, hey, are you coming over the border from America to Canada? Do you mind bringing me, you know, a good bottle of wine or from Canada to America? So you're abetting in a crime in the sense that even though Nevela, we said before, I can give a Jew Nevela, he's not going to eat, he's feeding it to his dog. But in this case, why is the Nazir, who I have reason to suspect, and not even even without focusing on the Nazir, just that any Jew who asks me for wine, there's a very, very good chance he's going to drink the wine, no? Now, if he's on South Beach and you bring him regular wine, that's a no-sugar diet, he's not going to drink that. So that you can give him, okay? But even if he's a Nazir. But if he's, right, see, for a South Beach guy, you're going to have to get him dry wine. You know, you'll learn about that diet one of these days. But, so the Gemara wants to know, are you allowed to be Moshe Kos Yael and Nazir? So the Gemara says that if you give a Kos Yayin to a Nazir, knowing well that he's going to drink the wine, then you violate an Iser Doraisa. That's what it says in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Vav. What Iser Doraisa are we talking about? In fact, you're not a Nazir. You're not drinking the wine. So what Iser could it be?
Exactly.
Lefneiver lo sitin michshol. So what's Lefneiver? Putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person? That's it? No. The Gemara says that anything that'll cause someone to stumble, right, in inverted commas, to stumble meaning even in Ruchni is in spirituality, in this case to violate his Isur Nazirus.
But he took this out upon himself. It's weird.
Good. But you're giving him wine, knowing full well he's going to drink the wine. You violated Isur Lifniv.
And you know full well he's going to violate it. Why should it be different than selling someone a piece of meat? I mean,
because the Gemara assumes that if someone asks you for wine, he wants to drink the wine. He's not feeding his dog.
Same way a regular person has an insert to eat Nevela, this Nazir has an insert to drink wine. The same way you can do
a lot of things with Nevela. You don't have to eat it. There are a lot of different things.
Nazir can give the wine to his wife and to his
wife. Could, but his wife doesn't drink wine. Okay.
I'm just saying the same way.
No, you're 100% correct. The premise is that he's going to drink the wine. And you know that. Get me a good bottle of wine. And by the way, I'm not here on behalf of Alcoholics Anonymous. But you know what I'm saying? But if you give the wrong thing to the wrong person, you know what's going to happen. So the Gemara says that's a violation of Lifnei. Because you know he's going to drink the wine. So then, how can I leave this object accessible for the Ani in this case when I know he's going to grab it and take it out into Rishus Aram, violate Malethes Otsam? So that's the question of Tosus. If you take a look, Tosus says like this. I bracketed parts because those are the complicated parts that aren't relevant to us. But what's relevant to us is the following. Bava deresha patur muta. The ani who's totally passive, or the balavais who's totally passive, holding the object, is patur muta. V'yutomar, the haka'afar alifne'iver, lo sitein michshol. He's abetting in a crime, which is a violation of an isa d'oraisa. Well, now, Tosus offers an answer. But he doesn't say it in the language of the Yesh Lomer, so it's a little tricky. Vafilu Mairi. And even if you'll tell me that we're discussing what kind of situation. Shahayachol litol afilu lo hayaviyado. Oh. Tosa says, what happens? See, in a dramatic case, if you want to take this object from me, I'm the Balabai Sensei, and I have it locked up in a safe. So if I unlock the safe, right? And I make it feasible for you to take out the object, is that's called what? That's called lifnei. But what do you do in a case where?
To introduce myself to
Rabbi
Weinstein.
The Maharaj asked. So what happens, Rabosai, if he has the code to my safe, or it's a common safe? Why am I abetting in a crime if he would have taken the object in any event?
Are you with me?
Says Tosis, maybe let's give an answer that why is the Gemara saying Potter Umutter over here? Because the other party, whether it be the Ani or the Baal Bais, depending on the scenario, could have had access to the object and taken it without me. I mean, imagine if my hand is between the table and the object, right? So Mike, if you want to take this object, just take it. And what would have been if my hand wasn't here? It would have been here. You would have taken it anyway. So Tosa says, why not give that answer? Tosa says, I feel, even if you'll tell me, he would have taken it anyway. And therefore, lo avar mishum lifnei iver, very important. So if he would have gotten it anyway, remember we discussed before, you know, he would have, if he's not going to eat your food without a bracha, he'll eat someone else's food without a bracha. Let's say you own, do they have a caterer here? In this area? So,
right here.
Is there a name for it?
Menshin.
Okay, I'm hereby pronouncing myself Mr. Menshin, correct? Now, you come to me, not you here, you know, because none of you are kosher, but let's say a non-religious couple comes to me and says, Mr. Menshin, I want to hire your place tonight. I want to rent it out for a wedding, January 10th. One second. Okay, the food's going to be kosher, right? Mentioned it's kosher. There's not going to be any violation of Shabbos. It's a Tuesday. But you know what? There's going to be mixed dance. Not here in Clinton Park, but in the theoretical model. Can I rent out my place to you knowing that there'll be mixed dancing? Chassid Shul mixed dancing. I don't want to tell you guys how many Yisurim are involved in mixed dancing. Of course, it wasn't always like that, you know. I mean, those who are old enough. But we're not going to get into that, you know, because that's a different child. We'll have on a different night, you know, whether you're allowed to remind someone of the old days. But but seriously, you know, can you do it? So you know what you're saying about my brother? So what are you hacking me? Mr. Menshin, what are you hacking me? If you don't rent me out your place... You know, there are plenty of other places in town. So it's not a case. See, if I'm bringing a special bottle of wine for this nazir because he can't get access to that wine, that's the thing here.
But say there clearly there that he wouldn't be able to get access.
Yeah, that's the next line in Tosfos. So that's the Gemara Navodah. What does the Gemara say? The Moshin Koslin Nazir, the case where I give wine to the nazir, Mukile. What's Mukile? The Gemara establishes it. Bitarikama de Mesechta Avodah Zorah. The Koi means it's a case of Trei Ivra de Nahara. The Nazir and I meaning the guy who's going to bring in the wine, are on two sides of the Niagara Falls. Now, if he could take, what do they call that? That tightrope that goes across Niagara. They still have that thing where somebody walks across Niagara Falls, or that hasn't been done in a while? 100 years, yeah, it's a pretty. And then there used to be someone going down in the barrel or something. A couple of people died on the way. This guy, he's a nazir and he's really desperate for a good bottle of wine, but he's not willing to cross over in a conventional way anyway, cross over Niagara Falls. So I have a way of getting over Niagara. I'm a great tightroper, you know what I mean? I'm not afraid. I'm crossing Niagara Falls, right? But so that's called Trei Ibra Denara. Let's translate that. Two Ibra, Aver is the end, right? The shore. Two shores of a river. So we're on two shores of a river. That's the Gemara's dramatizing that it's impossible for him to get access to the wine. That's what the Gemara says is a violation of Lifnei Iver. Okay, we're up to Rumi Kolmakom. So wait a minute. If we stop here, Rabosai, at this point, would it be mutter for me to help you abet you in a crime if you could do the crime without me? If you could anyway achieve the same goal without me, it would be mutter. Because there's no lifneiv. And the Gemara says lifneiv only applies in shrei ibra denari. If we're both on the same side of the river, and the nazir can get access to the wine without me, there's no lifneiv. That is explicit in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Therefore, in this case, it's very easy to say that the reason why the Baal Bais is allowed to facilitate the ani is because the ani will take it anyway. If the Baal Bais' hand was not there, so the ani would pick it up off the table. Says Tosus, no. It's awesome. Unfortunately. It's awesome. I'm saying even if they're on Chad Ibrin the Nara, they're on the same side of the river, which means that's a dramatizing way of saying he can get access to the Aver without you, Mikol Makom, you're still not allowed to help him in the crime. Why? Iser Dirabanan Mia Ika. There's no Doraisa, you've reduced it to an Issa Drabbana. And again, that's going to be a problem, because what does the Gemara say in Shabbos about the Baal Bayis? Potaru Mutar. So we're still in deep trouble. And Tosis is still really sweating it out. He thought he had a great answer. Because based on the Gemara Avodah Zarah and Nazir, that the violation of Lefevre only applies when? When it's trade with the Naira, he has no access to cross the Niagara Falls. But here, let's say that in the Baal Bayis case, the Ani could have taken it anyway. That would have been a wonderful answer. Says Tosis, no. Even though there's no lifneiv here, and you don't violate the Doraisa, there still is a Durabon. An Issa Durabon. Now, the first question that pops into my mind is, Mehecha Tesir, Avon Vana Vesman Azaz, where does he know it from? Who possibly? The Gemara says there's no lifneiv. Why do you have to come up with an Issa? I hate these guys. You know, they come up with an Issa. Where do they get it from? Clinton Farr. Okay. He says, Shechayav lafrisho me Issa. Please underline those three words. I had an extra pen. Shechayav lafrisho me Issa. That if you know someone is about to violate an Isur, a prohibition, you have to be makrish, you have to separate him from an Isur. Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. He means the following, that on a Doraisa level, you are not fulfilling your obligation of Ocheach Tochiyah. That's on a Doraisa level. It's a non-compliance with the mitzvah's essence. But that's not a violation. That's not a violation. But on a derabbanan level, it's an Issa derabbanan. Let me explain what I mean. It's complicated because lechora, you're right. You're 100% right. If Tosis thinks that this is ocheach tochiyah, then why does he call it an Issa derabbanan? We're going to have to say, and again, I admit to you, it's pushing it. It's really pushing it. But dochag, that Tosis means to say, Eino chinami, as far as ocheach tochiyah is concerned, then you have a chiyuv doraisa to separate him from the isur. But as far as, okay, so you didn't fulfill that that obligation of ocheach tochiyah, but I wouldn't say that you get malchus for that. You know, if you don't take a luv, you don't get malchus for that. But we'll beat you up. Well, what we call makas mardis, okay, it's not pleasant to get makas mardis either. It's a little lighter, but it's still not pleasant because you violated an Issa Drabon. So Tosis is taking this halach of chayv lafrisho and he's generating from nowhere, from naught, an Issa Drabonon in a case where you abet in the crime, but again, keep in mind that the crime could have been committed by the criminal even without. That's called Chad, Ibra, Denara. They're both on the same side of the river. Mail, if we come back to our suit, you were in trouble. Gee, give me one more minute, just because otherwise I'm going to lose. So let's just make the calculation now. So Tosa's postulating that if I do anything whatsoever to help the Nazir get his wine, or for that matter to help the Ani get hold of the object that he's going to take out into the Rishus HaRabim, although he would have done it without me, the Nazir or the Motzi, and therefore there's no Issa Doraisa Lefevre, nevertheless, in any event, there's an Issa Dirabonon. So Tosis now makes the calculation. We're back to square one. Because the Gemara says, Bava Dereisha, Potter Umutter. How could it be Mutter? It's an Issa Dirabonon.
What I'm saying is that you don't even have to debate the fact that you don't stop it.
Correct. Correct. So maybe what Tosis means is either I have to clench my fist, or maybe I have to give him a zetz, or at least tell him this is not acceptable. I got to do something to prevent him from violating the melacha. How could it be potter and mutter when I'm standing like this?
Let's say it was on the table.
Did I put it on the table? No. See, that would be an interesting question. Let's say you want to be mostly this, and I put it on the table. That would be an interesting question. Is that enough? Well, like you say, if the perspective is that I have to mafresh you from an issue,
that's because it's lashon.
Correct. Then anything short of that would be a violation.
Let's say not in your hand, but on the table.
When you say on the table, I put it on.
No,
the table.
I didn't put it on.
No,
the table.
I didn't put it on the table.
Yeah, but I have lashon.
No. So again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to interpret the mission. No, you're right. It could be a lot of
I understand Tosis, but...
No, it could be 100%. You're right. Correct. You're correct. But what we're trying to do is, you remember that there were these scenarios in the Mishnah.
I know. But I think according to Tosis, this question now...
Halacha l'maisa.
Halacha l'maisa, when he says, Shechayav l'hafrisha miyisr, would that make a difference?
Absolutely. You would have to do whatever you can. If it's on the table, wherever it is, you have to do anything in your power to prevent him from violating these. But what's no good to our case is happens to be this scenario where the Ani takes it out of the hands of the Baal Bais. How could that be potter u'mutter? Tosus is still stuck. And in order to answer this question, Tosus does, I call somersaults in the air. It's very dachuk Tosus's answer. I happen to like the Tosus Shonim's answer better, but that's just my preference. What is Tosus's answer? Again, we're skipping a little bit because this gets us into whole sugyas and Shabbos. About whether or not, you see, the truth is that, let's say I'm Jewish and you are not, you meaning Paul Jones, right? So I know that Paul Jones is going to take my object from my personal private domain and take it out into the Rishus HaRab. That's not acceptable in Allah. Because if I use the guy for my benefits, meaning the object is mine, then you get into issues which, again, I'm really oversimplifying, but issues that touch on what's called Amir La'akum Shavuz. And that's this bracketed parts that I added, you know, this I copy and paste from Bar Ilan, but then I bracketed this just so you should know. I'm going to skip it for now. If we ever learn together the Sechus Shabbos, we can spend an hour on that. The Eish Lomar, Demairi, what's our Mishnah talking about? V'nochri. There's a guy over here. Vachefetz shall nachr. So not only is the guy taking this object out of my hands, let's say I'm the Baal Bais, he's the Ani, so to speak. But
an Ani a guy,
and not only that, he's taking his own object. Did you hear how many premises Tosis is making and pushing us all into our Mishnah? Need I say another word? It's unbelievable. You know, I talk about Pumpadisa, you know, with the elephant into the hole, you know.
How is the Ani Chayev, like, in the mission says he is Chayev?
He's a
boy. Is it all four cases?
No, yeah, right. In each case, you're going to have to switch it around.
Yes.
It gets very complicated. To write this Mishnah up in a description will take you about 5 pages. Because, again, it's a nachri in terms of this scenario where the Jew is holding the object, and it's going to be a Jew who's the Ani in a case where the Ani is Chayev, because a guy is not Chayev for full Shabbos. And basically what Tosis says is I'm not abetting any crime. Why aren't I abetting in the crime? Because why do I care if the Nachri... If it was my object, that's I told you, a different problem. But if it's his object, he has no Shabbos. He's not violating. That's not one of the 7 mitzvahs, but he know.
In the last case of the Mishnah, Shneim Peturim, why do you need to say that? One of them is a Nachri.
No. Again, it's gonna shift. The only time the Tosis is gonna insist that it's a Nachri is the case of Potter and Mutter. On those 4 numbers that would have taken us from 8 to 12, that's what Tosis is gonna have to insist.
That's the Mishnah, they're both Jewish.
Correct, absolutely.
Now what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah according to Tosis?
Well, no. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is the other 8 cases. You know, again, the Gemara never postulates that there was a Chiddush in the other 4 cases. The Gemara just thought that should upset the apple cart because the number 8 cannot be maintained. You have to jack it up by another 4 because of the person who's passive and holding on to the object or receiving the object or letting the object go. So the Gemara says that's no kash because that's potter and mutter. We're only calculating Yisurin.
I don't know what's the Gemara's question according to this. I mean, if the Gemara assumed that in those cases there should be a problem, even though there's a guy, then what's the Gemara?
Excellent.
Question?
I don't know. You want to know, according to Tosis, was there a Havamina in the Gemara to think that it should be some sort of Yisurim? No. I think the Havamina was that we weren't calculating Yisurim. We were just calculating any sort of level or expression of participation. I don't know. But that's a Shabbos question. You can leave it with that. Tosis Yeshanim has a different answer. And he says, okay, I'll read you the original, if I can find it. Just 1 second. Okay, I'm not finding it now. In any event, Tosis Yeshanim basically says the following. That when the Gemara says, listen to this, when the Gemara says that it's Potur Mutter, what the Gemara means is as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's Potur Mutter. Meaning there's no Shmek, there's no time of a violation of Shabbos. There may be a different problem of Lifnei Iver. If it's not called Lifnei Iver because they're both on the same side, we'll call it Lafrisho Misur, whatever it might be. I was always thinking that this Tos Yishanim would be relevant. I mean, I'm a little going off the tangent, but I can't overcome my temptation here. There's a famous question of Rabbi Kiveger about someone who violates Isurei Derabbanan on Shabbos. He's very careful about Doraisas, but he's very laid back on Derabbanans. Would he have the status of a Mumar? Because we know that somebody who violates the Shabbos is a Mumar. But let's say he only violates Derabbanans. He's very particular. He's allowed it, you know, he's a shtick allowed it. He's careful about all Doraisas, but he's very laid back on Derabbanans. That's a good... Yeah, like a Tzduki kind of guy. If he's a Tzduki, he's surely a Mumar. But would he become a Mumar just simply by the fact that he violates the Rabbanon? Let's say if he'll Tchumen is the Rabbanon, he couldn't care less about Tchumen. You know, these Tchumen, so he travels on Shabbos by foot, but he doesn't go by car, so that would be the Rice is what he goes by foot. So I was thinking that maybe that's what the Tos Yishanim wants to say over here. When the Gemara says, Bava Deresha Potter Mutta, he wants to tell you that he's not violating an Easter Shabbos at all. He's violating other Yisurim, whether it's Lifnei Iver or Hochei Tachiyach, whatever we might classify it, but it's not a violation of Shabbos. So you ask me, what difference does it make? Why does the Mishnah have to call him, or the Gemara have to call him Potur Mutter, if anyway he's violating an Isur of some sort? The answer is, it's not a Shabbos halacha. And then Afkamina would be whether he has the status of a Mumar. All right, if you caught that, you caught that. If you didn't, you did. All this is summarized by the Rush, who says, Ein lomer dehocha mayri b'kai gabna filu loya nosno biyodo ayochol liflo. Don't tell me that he could have gotten it anyway, and therefore there's no Lifnei Iver. And he quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, etc., etc. And Kolmakom says the Rosh, Yisur d'Rabbanan Ika. And here he amplifies it. This is very helpful. Because remember I asked you, where is Tosis basing this on? Where is he coming from? The answer is, this is a sugi Yevamos. I think it's on Kuf Yud Dalet. The afil katan ochel nevelos bezdim mitzumin lafrisha. That if you see a child, when I say child, a minor, he's less than 13, or if a girl less than 12, and he or she is violating nevela, eating nevela, then bezdim mitzumin lafrisha. We have to separate the child from an Easter nevela. A kolshkin gadol, and how much more so of a gadol is about to violate the Easter Shabbos, shelo yisayelo, not to help him in a crime.
First he says here, yeah, the Afrisha, and then he says, Shalai Sai, not the same thing. Right?
He's making a Kalvachom. He's saying, is the Halach of the Gemara formulas? It's a double Kalvachom, a double whammy. The Gemara says that if you see a katan eating trefa ice cream, you have to separate him from it.
Oh, okay.
How much more so if a gadol is eating trefa and ice cream, you have to separate him? And not only that, how much more so is it prohibited and repulsive from a halachic perspective to help him some way eat that trefas? But what I gained from the Rush, and that's why I added it here, is that the Rush gives us an address. Where is Tosis coming from? And the answer is, he's coming from a sugi Yevamos, which is called Katan Ochel Nevelos Bezdin Mitzuvim Lahafrisha. All this is good and dandy until we get to a Tosis in Avodah Zarah. So let's get down to the bottom of, I think it's the bottom of page 1. You have that Tosis in Avodah Zarah? Mm-hmm. And what I'm skipping here is the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Mem Zayin in Aruch Chaim codifies the Mishnah of of the beginning of Shabbos, you know, with the Oni and the Balabayas. And then at the end, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Chavero Potter Avaloso. Do you see that? So the Shulchan Aruch went out of his way to point out that we shouldn't mistakenly think, as the Gemara says in Potter Mutter, it's really Potter Avaloso. He's not allowed to do it. And that's based on all the Rishonim, whether it's the Tosis and the Tosi Rishonim and the Rush, who all say that there is a violation here. It might not be a Shabbos violation, but it's a different violation. The Mishnah Berurah says something which boggles the mind. He says, Potter Avaloso, lo mishum iser Shabbos, Elisha Machshilis Chavero, by making it feasible for his friend to take out the object, v'goring lo lahotzi chefetz olach niso, v'yeshba za'iser Torah, mishum lefi'iva. Now, I think the Mishnah Berurah should have been a little bit more outspoken here. Is there really a violation of a doraisa of lefi'iva? Yes, no, maybe so. It all depends. If it would have been impossible for the Oni to take it, he needs the code, or whatever it might be, then you're right. The Mishnah Berurah is 100% on the mark. But let's say the Oni could have gotten it anyway. So then we're already in a different league. We're no longer talking about Lefe'iva. Tosfos has clarified from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, the Treyim B'Denari, that, excuse me, if it's Chayim B'Denari, there's no Lefe'iva. Chayim L'Afrishon B'Isur, you're not allowed to help him in a crime. That I understand. But I'm not sure that that's an Isur of Lefe'iva D'Oraisa. So I'm just saying that the Mishnah Berurah here gets me a bit nervous. I'm absolutely convinced he doesn't mean as a blanket, unqualified rule that you always violate Lefe'iva. It all depends on the circumstances. But take a look at Tosin Amodizor. Minayin shalo yoshit adam kos yayin l'nozir. The Gemara says, how do we know that you can't present a nozir with a cup of wine? And the Gemara goes on to quote the pasuk with Ne'ivel Ositein Michshol. Nira duhu adin b'chol isurim. It doesn't apply only to nozir. Elohachi nokai kos nozir, kos yayin l'nozir, mishum d'mistoma l'mishtei kaboyle. Again, this touches on your point from before. And again, if you want to fight with Tosas, we can do that later. But Mistava, meaning the premise is that if he's asking for wine, a cup of wine, it's not for his wife, it's for him. Again, you can fight with Tosas when you get a chance, but that's not for us now. Came in the Kuli Alma, Chamra Shosu. Everybody drinks wine. Okay, maybe this is for his wife. That's okay. Shema Shachach Niziruso. Maybe we should assume he forgot that he's a Nazir. I don't know how you can forget you're a Nazir, but... Abu Yisrael, Sha'amar lo hoshit li nevela, o chazir, o shum iser, ein lechoshto. You don't have to suspect him that he's asking for nevela because he wants to consume the nevela. Mi lo hoshit lo, and abstain from giving it to him, because he's going to feed it to his daughter. Aval in your dualo, if you happen to know, Sha'rotzo liachlo, so I know that you are asking me for nevela, because you're going to eat the nevela. Okay? This has a lot to do with guys. Again, I don't know what goes on here in Canada, but where I hail from in New York, a lot of frum guys are working in restaurants. It's a serious problem when Jewish people come in. I'm not talking about a restaurant with a hasher. You understand what I'm saying? You know the famous story of the guy who comes into the restaurant and he says, where's the Tudat hasher? You know. So the proprietor of the store, he points to the wall. He says, you see that? That's my Zayda. And you see a picture of a Yidmit Alanga boy. So the guy says, you know what? If you were hanging on the wall and your Zayda was feeding me the food, I would eat it. Anyway, I don't think he caught the punchline there. But anyway, so Tosa says, you're not allowed to give the Vela to a Jew. Right? Etc., etc. Ulafiz there, says Tosus, also lahoshit lemumrim lavos kochavim dvar isur. Let's say you know that a certain Jew is an idol worshiper. Again, today it's kind of rare, but in those days, so he's a mumrim lavos kochavim. So you give him the vela, what's he going to do with the vela? He's going to eat it. Afal bishul lahem, even if it's his, he's asking for his own vela. He's just asking you to help him get it. Hadomer yaduish yochluhu, he doesn't care about the Jewish law. And it's prohibited for him to eat it. You know, some people put up a sign. What are you talking to me about mitzvahs for? I'm not religious. They tell you I'm not religious. So therefore what? I'm allowed to you get a special category? You know, the Vilna Gaon once had an Apikoros came to the Vilna Gaon and he wanted to engage him in a philosophical debate. So the Gaon gave him a cup of water to drink or whatever he gave it to him. So the guy picks up his hand, because he's about to drink the wine, the water. So the Gaon says, make a bracha. He says, Rabbi, I'm an apikoros. He says, you can be an apikoros as much as you want, but on every cup of water that you drink without a bracha, you're going to get the shmeitzin. You're going to get punished in the next world. People think, I'm an apikoros. I can do anything, right? He says, he's Yisrael Gomu. So the guy is asking you for nevela. Umairi bidakai b'makam. Oh, now this is very, please underline this. Umairi, you see it's on the last, next to the last line. Umairi. What's the case that you can't give a guy or a mumar even a nevela because you know he's going to eat it, or you assume he's going to eat it? Myri b'dekoy b'makom sheyuch lo yuchal likach im lo yoshit lo. Who can a masik, as the Gemara is going to say in this sugya in Avodah Zarah, at the final conclusion, b'dekoy betray every denari. Tosu says, everything I discussed with you, whether it's about making a cup of wine accessible for a nazir, or giving the veil to someone that you know is going to violate the veil, because he's an Obed Avodas Kachav, he's not religious. All these Yisurim that I discussed with you, that's only because he can't get to it without you. Rav Osai, what is blatantly omitted from this Tosu? Correct. What happened to the whole discussion of Tosfos and Shabbos? That even though you're in Chadid with an Aaron, you're on the same side of the river, and even though he'll take it anyway, you're still not allowed to give him. And the Rush amplifies it by saying, if you have to be makrish someone from Yisrael and Cotton, how much more so you can't help him? And all these Rishonim, Tosfos in Shabbos, Tosfos Yishonim, the Rush in Shabbos, they're all assuming Peh Echad unanimously that you can't abet in a crime. Even if the criminal could implement that crime without you. So the Shach tries to reconcile this whole business. The Ramah assumes it's a machlokas between two Tosas. So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, on what it says in Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, that you're not allowed to sell any vehicle for Avodah Zorah to an idol worshiper because of Lifnei Iver. So the Ramah, I bolded it. You have it on page 2? Yesh Omrim Dohazi Asal Limkom Lem Dvar Mashayochim Lavadosim. You're not allowed to sell an idol worshiper stuff that he needs for idolatry. Hainu Dachka, that's only him. Ein Lehem Achirim Kayotzibo. They have no other store to buy it in. Avalim Yichon Liktos Makom Acher. If it's accessible to them elsewhere. Mutter Limkom Lehem Kol Dovar.
That's to a Jew.
But again, we're talking about idolatry. Okay, so again, we didn't get to all the discussions in Avodah Zarah, but the Gemara says that just like you can't be Moshe to Kos Yayin L'Nazir, you can't be Moshe to Avodah Zarah to a guy, because that's one of the seven mitzvot of Noah. That's a capital crime for a guy. So he's saying, but if he can get it anyway, this guy, so he'll worship the idol one way or the other, then you're allowed to do it. This is going to be a tremendous head there for so many different practical issues that are going to come up. Yeah.
Aren't you getting cut?
Right, but it's not a Avodah Zarah mamash. Okay, if it was an Avodah Zarah mamash, you're right. You know, it's also about no. But it's something that can abet, that can help in one stage in Avodah Zarah. The Yesh Machmirim. Who's the Yesh Machmirim? That should be Tosis and Shabbos, and Tosis and Shonim and Shabbos, and the Rosh and Shabbos, and everything else. V'nagu l'hakel kesvar rishona. That's good. However, he has an addendum. You always see this in the post. V'chol bal nefesh yachmir li'atzma. You want to be machmir, do it for yourself. So I would suggest the following. If you want to be a bal nefesh and you want to be machmir, if there are no pressing circumstances, it's a private matter, I don't mind that you want to be machmir on yourself. But if it's at the expense of someone else, meaning if there's a real issue in which you're protecting someone from a worse crime, like we spoke about before. So again, I don't have to violate an Easter to prevent you from even a worse Easter. But if I'm not violating an Easter because I can rely on the Yesh Mekilim here, because basically you're going to eat this food if it's treif somewhere else. At least it will be here, so maybe I'm mixed dancing, but at least you won't eat treif. Or maybe if you won't make a bruch on the food, but at least you're in my house and I'll try to bring you closer to the Yiddishkeit or whatever it might be. So I don't know if a bal nefesh should always be machmir al atzmo. For example, Rav Moshe's famous Jew, Becholov Akum, right? So he writes, if 2 pages of proving, you know, based on real lumbus that we can rely, you know, in those countries where there are very strict laws about not admixture of any milk, we can drink chalav stam. But then he writes, Ubal nefesh, yachmir al atzmo. So again, I always think to myself, how far do you want to go with that? You know, do you want to tell me that you take it upon yourself, you'll only drink chalav, you know, chalav Yisrael? And what are the, you know, down the lines, what are the repercussions for that? You know, you're on a family outing, right? So you accept it for yourself. This, what are the implications? Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not spelling it out, you know, I'm not working it out. But I'm just saying, anytime it says an aloha about nefesh, yachmer, atzmo, I think you should proceed with caution because, you know, you have to consider all the variables and all the implications. So the Shach says he thinks there's no machlokas at all. And with this, we'll call it a night. Again, this will complete the conceptual structure, the Shach and the Dagal Mevavah, if we can just fit this in, and then we'll get to the Tshuvas Mitzvah another time, believe me. Says the Shach, he doesn't see necessarily a stira between the two toasts. This feeling, the Ramah holds the Kihechi Diamrinon. You know what, Rav Ossi, just to make life a little easier, because it's a long shach, I summarize the shach on page 3 in my own handwriting. You have that on the back of page 4, I guess it would be, the back of page 3, in my own chicken scratch. Okay, I didn't leave a copy for myself, but where's the original? Oh, I have the original. Okay, great. Ayin Shach. Okay, this is again just to make life a little easier for ourselves, and when you and because we're pressed for time, but if you get a chance, go through the Shach. Shecholik al Ramah. He argues with Ramah. V'sofer she'ein machlokas bein atosus Shabbos v'atosus b'avodah zorah. There's no machlokas. El shatosus b'avodah zorah midabrim b'mefugash. Behoshotas dvar isur lemumar. So you're giving a nevela to a mumar. Ube mumar ein isur misayea. Kemosha ein mitzvah lafrisha. The Shach says something unbelievable. First, his diuk is brilliant, but the conclusion is far reaching. And we have to wonder about it.
As you find it.
A mumar is someone, in the technical sense, meaning back in the old days, today I don't know, you have to figure out who's a mumar, but in the old days, 2 witnesses testify that he violated Shabbos publicly, or he violated Avodah Zarah publicly. And he was warned, and everything else. That's technically a mumar. But he says to Shach that if you look carefully, take a look back in the Tosfot Avodah Zarah, his discussion is about not handing a nevela to a mumar. And he says that if the mumar can get access to the veil without you, then there's no Easter of Lifnei Eve. No ifs, ands, or buts. He doesn't have the proviso that Mirabbanan it's also, or and so forth and so on. Period. Whereas Tosis and Shabbos doesn't mention a mumar at all. The word mumar doesn't appear. Comes along the Shach and he says something mind-boggling. He says, you know where I can't abet someone in a crime? That's only if he's not a mumar. He's basically a member of the Jewish fold. He's part of the Jewish people. Once he gains the status of a mumar, then I can help him in a crime. Why? Where is this coming from? And not only that, the Shach goes a step further. He says, I don't even have to be mafresh him from Isur. The whole business falls apart. You remember that the Rush found the source for this whole business that I can't abet someone in a crime if the person can do the crime or will do the crime in any event. What was the source for that, said the Rosh? Bez de mitzvah lafrisho. Says the Shach. Bez de mitzvah lafrisho. That doesn't apply to a mumar. I think what the Shach is saying, again, this is Berzon talking, so you take it with a grain of salt. I think what he's trying to say here, the Shach, is that this whole business of bez de mitzvah lafrisho, and certainly I can't abet in a crime. That's only talking in the context of Hocheach Tochiach Samisecha, as you said very well before. Hocheach Tochiach Samisecha applies to anyone who's not a mumar. Amisechon means that, all right, either he forgot inadvertently, he's about to violate Avera, or maybe it's an occasion it's worse than that. I don't know. We have to think. But he's not a mumar. If he's a mumar, something that we can check into and investigate very carefully. Nizah, says the Shach. If he's a mumar, and if it's not possible to fulfill and to be obligated the mitzvah tochiach because he's a mumar, he's out of the parasha of tochacha. You'll have to beat him to a pulp, and it's not going to help anyway. He'll eventually kill you. In the middle, there's no bez mitzvah lafrisha, and there's no iser. Therefore, with the kal vachomer that I can't embed him in a crop, because according to the Shach, the whole basis, once we've cut out lifneiver, because if it's chad ivr denari, he could do it anyway. There's no lifneiver. So what are you left with? Okay, tochiach and kaiv lafrisho. Says the Shach, all those halachas, all those mitzvahs, all those obligations of human don't apply to the mumar. That's what Tosfos and Avodah Zarah is saying. If you're someone who's not a mumar, then even Tosfos and Avodah Zarah would say that even if it's chad ivr denari and he would do the avera anyway, chas v'sholem, you can't help him in a crime, even after the mafresh in b'nisur. So if we take the Shach and we apply it lahalacha lemaisa, as we'll do b'lin eder next time, and we'll see the tshuvas. It's a beautiful tshuva from Moshe Feinstein here. What we're going to come to the conclusion is that unless someone has the status of a mumar, you can't in any way facilitate a crime, even though he would violate the crime without you. Then we're going to ask the question: what about a tinok shenishba? Does a tinok shenishba come under the same category? Because at this point he has no background, he has no education. What's Shaykh Hokech Tochiyah? Again, don't misunderstand.
The first part you learned with
the Tino. Oh, but okay, in that case, the child is of age, he's mature enough to understand. If he's too young, then it wouldn't apply. A 2-year-old child wouldn't apply. Let him eat the ice cream. There's no Bezdin Mitzvah official unless he's a Bar Chinuch. I don't know, and we're going to have to check this in the postgame, whether a Tinok Shenishba, in the extreme case, you know, maybe he prays in Holy Blossom, I don't know. But he has no background in Yiddishkeit. He really doesn't know an A from a B. Can you expect to fulfill the Mitzvah Hokeach Tochiyach? We're both, no misunderstanding. In the broader sense, Hokeach Tochiyach applies to, vis-a-vis this Jew, the Tinok Shenishba, more than it applies to anyone. But what I mean in the broad sense is to try to bring him closer to Yiddishkeit. Slowly but surely. But if you're going to hit him with, you know, oh, that's Malechus on Tzad Shabbos, and he knows nothing, you know, he's jingling his money in his pocket on Shabbos. And again, I'm not trying to be facetious or negative about him. He doesn't know any better. Then I believe that we might be able to apply the Shach in such a case. Feed him, invite him over, maybe even be Masadar Kedushin for him, maybe even rent out a wedding hall to him, knowing that there'll be mixed dancing and the whole bit. Because Hokeach Tochiyach hasn't kicked in yet. And according to the Shach's position, if Hokeach Tochiyach hasn't kicked in, then the whole business doesn't apply. Because if you won't rent the hall to him, he'll go down the block and rent it elsewhere. If you're not going to invite him for a meal, he has plenty of tarfas to eat. And there are plenty of places for him to go mixed in. You follow what I'm saying? So B'lin Eder, we'll pick this up next time. I want to thank everyone for coming. And also, I'm supposed to, this is a paid political announcement, I'm supposed to make a push for Sunday morning. This is the command that I got. We're having a launch. I never knew that word before until I came to Canada. Oh, great. Yeah, so it's over here. So it's, where's it happening? What is it, a big house?
You've never been to Dubai.
No, it's acronym. Okay. Whatever it is. I-